Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Can you remember learning the Lord's Prayer? I can't. And I think that might be true for a lot of us who were raised in the church. The prayer kind of sits way back behind where memory starts, down there with learning to walk and learning your own name. I don't think we really acquire this prayer. Many of us just come out of childhood already holding it. And it's also one of the very last things to leave us. I have stood in a lot of rooms over my career as a pastor where a person's words have all but left them, where they are in bed and a conversation is going on around them and they can't follow it. Stood in rooms where consciousness is fleeting, where a daughter or son or beloved grandchild is standing right there and they can't come up with their name. But then we start to pray, and the person's voice comes back. Our Father, who art in heaven, steady, unhurried, every word in its right place. Sometimes their voice is stronger than anything else they have uttered all afternoon, and the family goes quiet because they've just heard something return just for a moment that they were sure was gone. Now, I don't think that that person in the bed is producing that prayer. It isn't effort. It isn't devotion. It isn't just that they happen to be having a good hour on a good day. It's that that prayer went in so early and so deep that it lives underneath everything else that is failing. Someone put it there long before it could be understood, and it stayed. Now, most Sundays, we go on autopilot when we pray this prayer. It's probably more muscle memory than meaning. And some of your pastors lead you through it quite quickly. And some of us, well, lead it a little more deliberately. Either way, we're all just trying to get to the end together. And the prayer is so familiar. And yet at times, it can feel really foreign. Like, what are we even saying? Which is why I want to stop on one line this morning. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. Around here, we're more accustomed to saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We've been saying that our whole lives, many of us, out loud, thousands and thousands of times. And yet most of us have somebody we probably haven't forgiven. At least not completely. Many of you probably had someone in mind even before I finished that sentence. And I want you to notice the word that Jesus uses in our gospel reading today. He says, indebted. It's a money word. A debt is a claim, something owed, never paid, still on the books. And you're not wrong to hold on to the debt. The person who hurt you owes you something. That's not bitterness. That's just the truth. Something was taken from you and never given back. But then somebody tells you it's time. Usually someone who loves you. Maybe it's somebody standing in a place where I'm standing right now, telling you, you need to forgive them. It's eating you up. Let it go. And even if that is true, now you're carrying two things instead of just the one. You're carrying what they did to you and your failure to be finished with it. Look at what actually happens in this story. The disciples watch Jesus pray and they ask him to teach them how. And he doesn't give them an assignment. He doesn't give them seven steps toward a softer heart. He just gives them words to say. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. It's the only time that forgiveness shows up in today's passage. Once, as a request. Sitting right next door to the daily bread. Another thing you can't really make yourself. Another thing that you have to ask for and then receive. Which I think means that this is not a command that you've been failing. This is a prayer to be forgiven and a prayer to be able to forgive. Both halves are being asked for. You're not being given one and assigned the second one. You're asking for both. The same way you ask for bread, the same way you ask for anything that you can't pull out of thin air. And then Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door opens. He tells them about a man who is pounding on his neighbor's door at midnight with no shame. No shame about it whatsoever. Not apologizing for the hour. Not cleaning himself up first. Just knocking in the dark because he needs bread and he knows where bread is. And then Jesus says, ask, and the Father gives you the Holy Spirit. Ask for the gift, and you get given the one who gives. Which I think takes the timestamp off of this whole thing. You don't have to forgive by tomorrow. Not by Christmas, not on your friend or family's schedule or mine. God's own Holy Spirit does this work in you over years, if it takes years. And it's not yours to force, and it never was. So I think that means you can stop grading yourself and keep asking. One more thing I want you to hear. The part that isn't up to you at all. You see, somebody has had a claim on you too. And God didn't settle that claim by pretending. God didn't decide it wasn't that bad or that it didn't happen or that you didn't mean it. Instead, in Jesus, God goes to the cross. It costs something. It cost God everything. And the account was then closed. Not when you asked, or not when you were finally sorry enough. Before you did anything, you are forgiven. Today. Fully. Whatever you walked in carrying, and whoever you thought of a couple minutes ago, and whatever you've not been able to do about them, that part is finished. It was finished before you got here. ...1500 years after Jesus gave his friends this prayer, Martin Luther sat down to write an explanation of it, of the Lord's Prayer, in his Small Catechism, which was a teaching tool for people of faith. I want you to think about what that means. Nobody writes an explanation of something that people already understand. And when Luther got to this line about forgiveness, he said something that surprises me. He said, God doesn't wait for you to ask. The forgiveness is already given. It was given before we prayed, before it even occurred to us to pray. So when we say these words, we aren't talking God into anything. We're learning to receive what has already been handed over. That was 500 years ago. We're still learning. So if you've been trying to forgive someone for 30 years and getting nowhere, that's okay. You're not behind. You're surrounded by lots of good and faithful people who struggle with this. And there may come a day when you cannot follow the conversation of what's happening in your room, when your kids or grandkids are standing right there and their names won't come, and this prayer will still be there. Not because you kept it, but because someone put it in you before you could understand a word of it. And it went deeper than anything that this world can take away. And the forgiveness that God gives was given to you that exact same way. Handed over before you knew to want it, underneath everything in you that is failing, still there on the day that you have nothing left to bring. And it's not something you have to produce. It was never yours to make. And it was always a gift given to you this day and always. Amen.